The dirt floor, and you sweep some of the sand or some of the, I guess some of the dust into the cracks in the ground in such a fashion that you make the ground level. If you're mashve gumoy, there are cracks in the ground, and this makes the ground smooth. So this would be a violation of bona. If you either chofer babai, so you fill in a hole in the house, either one is a bona. What if a person has a dirt an earth floor, it's not paved, and he sweeps the floor and is not really interested one way or the other in being mashver gumoy? So the Gemara says that this is a machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, with a dov sheinu miskaven is mutar arasa. What's the definition of dov sheinu miskaven? A person that does a pula hamuteris, to sweep the floor per se, apparently is a pula hamuteris. He does a pula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pula hasur, namely may or may not bring about mashva gumay. So that's a machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, where the dov sheinu miskaven is also a mutar. Tosis is bothered with a problem. They had a girsa in Yuma, Daf Lamed Daled, which Rashi did not have. This is the Gemara in Yuma that Tosis alludes to very often, and we allude to it a lot. The Gemara says that if the Kangodal, the Mishnah says if the Kangodal is old and weak, he has to be toivim in the mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur. So if he's afraid that he's going to catch a cold, so they see to it that they warm up the water. How do they warm up the water? So we have an easy system. From the days of the Tanur, days of the second base Amigdosh, the only way they could figure out how to warm up the water was they would have chunks of metal sitting, ashoshia shel barzel, chunks of iron, sitting on coals, on burning hot coals on a fire from Erev Yom Kippur, and then they would take these chunks of burning hot metal and put them into the water. And the heat that would be given out from the burning metal would warm up the water. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha. If you would have metal that would be glowing, let's say by us, if you have an electric bulb and the filament is so hot that it's glowing, and then you turn off the bulb, so that's a violation of Mechaber. It's not a mechaber deraisa, the Gemara says, because he didn't create any pechon, but it's still mechaber midirabon. So that's a Gemara earlier membeis, that mechaber gachela shel mateches is only a nisa derabonon. Mechaber gachela shel eitz, where there will be a pechon, by extinguishing the flame, you will create a pechon, charcoal, that's the definition of the melacha deraisa. Mechaber gachela shel mateches is only mechaber midirabonon. Fine. So the Gemara never doesn't raise the issue of mechaber over there. The Gemara just apparently they're talking about hashoshir shel barzel that are hot, but they're not red hot. A lot of times you can have, let's say, if you have an electric stove, so sometimes the bars of metal, the element is so hot that it's glowing red, and sometimes it's hot that it's black, and so hot you can burn your fingers on it. So if it's just black, and you put it in the water, so then there is no mechaber. So the Gemara just raises a different issue. If you have ashoshia shel barzel that are burning hot, and you put them right into cold water, isn't this a violation of mitzaref? Mitzaref is some kind of a malacha or another. Shaila Rashi and Tesis, whether the malacha or mitzaref is the raisa the rabbonim. So the Tesis has the girsa there in the Gemara, that the Gemara comes to the conclusion that since it's not so clear, in order to accomplish tziruf on metal, that you make the metal stronger if it's burning hot, and then you put it into ice cold water immediately after making it burning hot, it'll strengthen the metal. So this will only be a makaba patush on the mateches. So this will only be the case if it's the right temperature heat and it's the right temperature cold water, and you can't tell in advance unless you're an expert. So the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't know in advance whether it's really going to work, whether the willock, they weren't, it's going to work. They're interested in warming up the water. They're not interested in accomplishing the tziruf. So they didn't know in advance whether it would cause tziruf or would not cause tziruf. So it wasn't a psik reishi that tziruf will occur. It was a dov sheinu miskaven. So the worst it can be is a dov sheinu miskaven. So even according to the Tana, Reb Yehuda, who thinks dov sheinu miskaven is osur, it'll only be osur mid the rabbanon on Shabbos. The avishen in this cabin is osur and kol hatar kulam in haTorah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and on Shabbos it's only osur mid the rabbanon. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's osur and kol hatar kulam min haTorah? Maybe it's osur and kol hatar kulam also only mid the rabbanon. So that we had the Gemara yesterday. We were looking on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara was discussing the heter to perform the bris milah on the baby, notwithstanding the fact that the neged tzaraas is being removed by cutting off the or ha'orli, taking off the neged tzaraas. So the Gemara said, for some reason or another, that's called the dov shein miskaven. That's not a psikration. That was what we discussed yesterday. The Rashba. Why isn't it a psikration? The moel has his eyes open and he sees that he's cutting off a neged tzaraas. Let it be a psikration. So the Rashba gave an explanation. So the Gemara assumed over there that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Adobe Shehidim is Kavan is an Issa Deraisa. I need a pasuk to tell me that it's Mutter. But according to Rabbi Shimon, Adobe Shehidim is Kavan is Mutter. So the Gemara says, oh, the pasuk must be going in a case where the father is performing the bris milah. So you see, from that Gemara, they're working on the pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that it's Mutter? So they say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Adobe Shehidim is Kavan, I need a pasuk. According to Rabbi Shimon, it was Tambi Mutter. So you see, from the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Adobe Shehidim is Kavan, is also min haTorah and kol haTorah kula. This Gemara in Yuma Lamed Dalet says that even Rabbi Yehuda holds that dov shein miskaven is only asur mirabbanan. That goes on Shabbos. That's what Taisus always assumes. That's what that Gemara says. Rabbi Yehuda is murdered to Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. The dov shein miskaven is mutam min haTorah, and the whole churma that he has is only midirabbanan. Why is he machmer midirabbanan? Let's say if you hold that. Reb Shimon holds Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutam and Atur, and he leaves it Mutam and the Rabbanon also. So why did Reb Yehuda Aser, if Reb Yehuda is masking with Reb Shimon that Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutam and Atur, why does he ask him at the Rabbanon? That's what Tosis he asks. On Yuma Daf Lamed Hey, there's a gigantic Tosis that starts on Lamed Dal and Lamed Beis and continues on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. So Tosis he asks that if they both start off holding the same, that Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutam and Atur on Shabbos, so how did it turn about? How did it develop that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Osmer Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Mutar Rimen the Rabbanon? So that's what Tosfos fills you in the rest of the story. They say the idea of introducing a chumra mid the Rabbanon on Shabbos is kedei lahashvi Shabbos l'shar kol haTorah kula. If you have a heter that only applies in the Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon holds that Rabbi Shimon is kamen is mutar and kol haTorah kula. So there's no reason why you should be making why you should introduce a chumra mid the Rabbanon. To say that Dov Shein Miskaven should be Osur Rabbanon. If it's Mutam and Atar, it's Mutam and Rabbanon. But according to Reb Shimon, let's say Reb Shimon holds that Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is Mutam and Atar. And Tosfos points out in the first paragraph of Mo'ikotin that the concept of Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, Mutam and Atar, is only in Shabbos. Doesn't apply in other areas of Halacha. There is no kul of Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So even Reb Shimon holds Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is Mutam and Atar on Shabbos, but mid the Rabbanon he asks Kedei Lahash for Shabbos L'Shar Kol haTorah Kulo. But so according to Reb Yehuda, the Dov Shein Miskaven is also min haTorah and Kol haTorah Kulo. So on Shabbos where it's Mutam and Atar because of a lack of Melach Mal Shabbos, so Kedei Lahash for Shabbos L'Shar Kol haTorah Kulo, it makes sense to be Machmer Tasa Dov Shein Miskaven mid the Rabbanon. But according to Reb Shimon, Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutar on Shabbos, Mutar on Kol haTorah Kulo. So why should you make a chumra mid the rabbon? What day lahash for Shabbos? The kol haTorah kula? No, kol haTorah kula also dov shein miskaven is mutter. It's always mutter. So there's no reason to make a chumra. That's how the Tosfos, the gigantic Tosfos in Yuma, fills you in the next line. So I'll call upon him here. Tosfos is bothered with a kash. There was a braisa earlier on the daf where six activities were listed off: milking a cow, hacholav hamachabet, making cheese, hamagabein. Machabit means when you put in the enzyme into the milk in order that the curds should separate from the whey. And then Abgabin is when it pulls all the curds together and he makes it into one big solid bar. Then one sweeps the floor, Hamachabit, Hamrabit, Harod, Chalvash. In all the six cases, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. And Reb Leizer holds that it's a Nisr Melocha Derais. Reb Leizer holds that on Shabbos, Yechayv Chattas, and on Yontav, you get Malkas. If it would have only been an Issa de Rabbanon, you can't be Chayv Chatos. It would be Chulam Bazorah. Chatos not Bob and Ender Vedova. You wouldn't get Malkus Arboim. Loik Arboim has the connotation of meaning that it's an Issa de Raisa. Why does it mean that it's an Issa de Raisa? Maybe it means that you get Malkus Mardis de Rabbanon. So one day in the Rishonim is that Malkus Mardis de Rabbanon, you only give 13 times Malkus. Malkus deraisa give 39, you give three times. Malkus aruyas lishtalish. You give twice on the back and once on the chest. So you have to give 39 malkus. And one opinion in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yontif Sheni quotes this, that one who violates Yontif Sheni gets malkus mardus to Rabbanon. What's malkus mardus? He quotes that there's one opinion, you only get 13 malkus, 13 times malkus instead of 39 times malkus. So we understand well why the Gemara always knows whenever it says Loka Aboim has the connotation of Malkus Deraisa. If it would have been Malkus Mardus, wouldn't have been 40. That's not the generally accepted opinion. Usually we assume that Malkus Mardus Rabbanon is also going to be 39. But still, the Gemara takes that whenever that expression appears Loka Aboim, it doesn't say Loka Malkin also Malkus Mardus. It says Loka Aboim, so it sounds like it's a real Din Deraisa. So how can Tosis says the Kasha? The Gemara says the last line right before the Mishnah on Tzadikim and Aleph, that sweeping the floor is an issue of Dabashen and Miskavein. That sweeping the floor per se is a pool of Hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pool after, namely Ashvuy Gumas. So even, and it's not a Tzikreshe, so even if it turns out that you did Dabashen and Miskavein, Rabbi Yehuda holds Dabashen and Miskavein is also on Shabbos, but he holds that it's only also in the Rabbanah. So how could there be a Tana Reb Lezer who says that if you sweep the floor, it's a malocha derais and yichai bechatzis, and you get malchus abayim, you get malchus derais. That's Tesis Kash. So Tesis says, well, you have to say the Reb Lezer holds that it's a psik reishe. And the Chachamim disagree, they hold it's not a psik reishe. Tesis says, yeah, that's the machlokes atanaim, whether it is a psik reishe or it's not a psik reishe. So you could have said, maybe it's a psik reishe with the Rabbanon. No, but they're talking it's a psik reishe derais. Again, if you say loike abayim and chayiv chatzis means that it's a psik reishe derais. So there's mamash machloikis atanoim, where there's something, according to the way Taisa understands, where in a certain case, is it a psik reishe, the araisa, or is it not a psik reishe? So that's what the Ramban later, and the Melchamas on Daf Kuf Kof Dalet, Taisa's Dibra Maskel Vehoidna, refers you to Gemara later. Thank you very much. Taisa discusses the Gemara later, Kuf Kof Dalet, where the Gemara talks about sweeping the floor with a broom. So the Mohammed has a discussion over there, what the Psak Halacha should be. So he says, Bayat, Ibrahim Asl-Vidna has a discussion, what the Psak Halacha should be. The quote, the Baal Halacha's Gedolah says that it's mutter to sweep the floor if it's, because it's only a Dov Shein Miskavin, we pass from Dov Shein Miskavin as mutter, and Eden Eri Liri. The Ri disagrees with the Halacha's Gedolah. So there on Kuf Kav Dalet, where the Gemara talks about whether the broom is a klisha malach d'leisa or a klisha malach d'leheter or mukta, so the Melchama says, "Bitzmiya, how can it be a machloikis and mitzias? Doesn't make any sense. Why didn't the Tanoim are going to philosophize about what's happening? They would go investigate. They would commission someone to make a study, and they'd find out what the facts are. That's why the Ramban says this is impossible. You can never have a machloikis and mitzias in the Gemara." Unless it's such a mitzvah that it's impossible to ascertain. Once in a while you have a machlekes, a mitzvah, so let's say, what's the psychological umdana? So to establish a psychological umdana, you have to interview a lot of people, and you have to know how to interview. So that's hard. So that's, once in a while, it's a shaykh to have a machlekes and such a mitzvah. The Ramban, in the beginning of Elu Treifus, and his Chidushim also poses this problem on the Gemara. The Gemara seems to present the machlekes satanayim regarding the laws of Treifah. When you have an animal that has a treifa, so you're not permitted to eat it, so is that because we assume that treifa ain't a choya? An animal that has one of these treifas, a diseased animal, will not be able to survive Yud Beis Chodesh. So therefore, even though I shechted it while it's still alive and kicking, it's considered like tchilas nevela. It's considered as if I shechted a dead animal, because the fact that it has the simit treifa is like it has one leg out. It's already half dead. And Shechita is only chal on an animal that's fully alive. If the animal is half dead, it's very tchilas nevel that the Shechita is not chal. Or should I say no? That treifus is a disease, fine, they're all diseased animals. But a treifa chaya, the animal can survive another 12 months. And the reason why the Torah prohibits it is not because we already consider it as if it's already a tchilas nevel. If it's half dead and therefore the Shechita is not chal. Like Shechita wouldn't be chal on a dead animal, it's a separate halacha. That treifa, even if it live another, maybe Hashem Shalom, live another 100 years, that's the halacha. You're not allowed to eat a diseased animal. Maybe it's not healthy, whatever. Not necessarily because it's considered that it's dead. So this is a machlekes hatanoim in the Gemara, the first daf in Eilu Treifus. So that's what the Ramban in the Chidush Ramban yesterday on that Gemara, Tamihani Hech Nechluku Avosa Olam. That's the expression that he has. How could the Tanoim have such an argument with the Trefachai Trefanachaya? The Tanoim always used to experiment in order to ascertain what the facts were. They wouldn't philosophize like the Greek philosophers, didn't believe in experimentation. They would always experiment to find out what the facts are. And he quotes the Yerushalmi Chala like that. The Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanoim regarding Uriz V'Doichen. Is it Bola Dechimus? Is it not Bola Dechimus? How many Minei Dogen are there? So we assume there are Hamisha Minei Dogen. Chit Masar and Kusman, Shibol Shuol and Shippon. And Rabbi Yechon Menuri adds on Uriz V'Doichen. Then he gets Chiv Chala, Hamoitzi, Berchus Hamazen, Matzah, Erevechatzer. It's all the dinim that depend on Pas, that depend on Lechem, is a Machlokes HaTanoim. So the Gemara says, what's the issue that they're debating? We learn out from a pasuk, how do you determine whether any grain has the status of dogon or has the status of a vegetable? So the Gemara says, if it's boli de chimutz, if you grind it up and make flour out of it, and you mix it with water, and you let it sit, will it be boli de chimutz or will it be boli de sirchon? If you take kidneys flour and you mix it with water, that's one chemical reaction. We call that sirchon. And if you mix one of the wheat, barley, oats, etc., if you mix those with water and you let it sit, that'll be bole de chimutz. That's a different chemical reaction. So what's the machlokes HaTanoim over here by Yoriz V'Doichen? Whether it's bole de chimutz or bole de sirchon? So the Yerushalmi Chala asked the kasha, why didn't they experiment? What are they philosophizing? Bal peh. Mix some of the flour with water and watch it and take a look and see whether it's bole de chimutz or bole de sirchon. So the Yerushalmi says they did. Of course they experimented. That was exactly the machlokes, what it came to a degree of chimutz, a mikzas degree of chimutz, and that was a machlokes HaTanoim, Rabbi Menuri Nachacham, to what extent does it have to be bole de chimutz? Is that sufficient, bole de chimutz, or do you have to have a greater degree of chimutz than that? So that's what the Ramban asked in the first daf in Eilu Treifus, in the Chidush Ramban Achulin, how can you have a machlokes HaTanoim with a treifus? Why don't they experiment? You should have taken a whole bunch of 100 animals that are treifus, and lock them up and fed them for a year and see if they're going to survive a year or not. So Ramban answers that's probably what they did do. He's guessing, he's reconstructing the background. He says they probably took 100 animals and they probably all died. And one Tana says, there you have it, that's the proof that Trefa is Einachaya. And the other Tana said, no, Ruba the Ruba of the Trefas, I agree they're probably going to die. I disagree with you that that's not the reason why the Torah prohibits a Trefa, even if you'll have an animal that has a similar Trefas. I feel lu yitzuyer. Even if one could imagine in his mind that the animal will live another 20 years, it'll still be a trefer. So, but ruba de ruba of the trefers probably are going to die within a year. So the Ramban says it was probably impossible for them to make a controlled experiment. They probably took 100 animals and they all died within a year. And then the other Tana says if you would have taken 1,000 animals, then they would not have all died. No, they couldn't afford 1,000 animals. You have to have farmers sitting and waiting and taking care of 1,000 animals that are all treifas for a whole year to see if they're going to die. So the Ramban says that's why it's shaykh to have a machlokes mitzias in such a case. But normally he says you can't have a machlokes mitzias. So what's machlokes over here by Mechabe? Ramban says no, he doesn't believe that it's machlokes. Is it a psikreshe? Or is it a badoes that when you sweep the floor it's going to accomplish hashvuyah gumas? Or is it only a dovshenim's kamas? So he thinks no, it's a different machlokes. One Tana holds that to sweep the floor itself is a violation of bonim. When you clean off the floor, that's also bonim. When you paint the house, it's bonim. When the house looks awful, and then you paint it, and you, it's not only bonim when you're banging a nail. If you do other things to touch up the house, that it looks prettier, so that's also a violation of bonim. Ramban says that's what Reb Lezer holds in the Braisa. Mechabed is a melocha deraisa, even though there's no psikreshe v'ashvuyi gumas. Anyway, what did the Gemara come to the conclusion on the last line? Behoidna. Behoidna means that it was added on bismanazeh by the later Amaroim. You have every so often such an expression in the Gemara, Behoidna the Sfirona, Behoidna the Kaimalon. And Tosis points out in Kiddushin, the second parak, and other places, then the Megillah you have like that, Behoidna. The Gemara says, what are you laying Kriyas HaTorah on Yamim Tovim? So the Gemara says, Behoidna. And today we don't follow what it says in the Mishnah, we have a different practice. The same Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Vahidna, after the Shavuos Heses was introduced, so the Dinam had changed a little bit. So here the Gemara says, Vahidna, the Sviralon, Ki Reb Shimon, the later Amaroim, I think, we pass from like Reb Shimon, the Dov Shein, Miskabin is Mutter, So Shari Yafila Lachatchila said, if Baha agreed that it's mutter to sweep the floor, because even if you'll accomplish Hashmi Gumas, it's not going to be a psik reishi. It's a dovashen miskav. Dovashen miskav is mishayin. Yeah. Why is it a dovashen miskav? It means, how do you define again dovashen miskav? A person is doing a pula hamuteris, which may or may not bring about a pula hasura. What's the pula hamuteris that the person is doing? Sweeping the floor. So to sweep the floor per se is a pula hamuteris. The only thing that's also is ashvi yigum. So Taisha says, what are you talking about? What are you sweeping the floor? You're collecting all the dust on the floor. No, the dust is dachmukta. Eitzma bonav yofar is mukta. Sweeping the floor is tiltal mukta. So that's already an isa. Not a melacha deraisa. Tiltal mukta is only an isa derabon. But it's tiltal mukta. So how can it say in the Gemara that? how can you interpret that the Gemara says shori? Afilu lehatchila goes on sweeping the floor. Sweeping the floor for sure is also. And that's the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalid. Look, come on. The Gemara talks about a broom. That a broom is a klisha melach deliyisa. Why so? Gemara has a discussion. Is it a klisha melach deliyisa or not? Gemara said, why should it be a klisha melach deliyisa? So Tosfos interprets, because it's a kli that's used to sweep the dust, and the dust is muktzah, so it's used for tiltal muktzah. So that everybody agrees that that's a klisha melach deliyisa. So that's why the Ri Bala Tosfos disagrees with the halachas deilos, and he says, a Gemara that says, we didn't sfer lek Reb Shimon shorei afil lechatchila. Doesn't go on mechabed, it goes on merabed, and that's a different thing. It goes on sprinkling a few drops on the sand on the floor, so that when you walk on the floor, if there's so much dust on the floor when you're going to walk, you're going to cause a whole cloud of dust to come up. People are going to be choking. The Gemara has cases that people when mitzar mehavlo, they were choking because of the cloud of dust that was caused. So if you're merabit, this will keep all the stuff down on the floor. So that's what the Gemara says is muta. We pass like Rav Shimon that that's muta.
I'm a little bothered by this tiltal muta for the dust. Normally when we talk about tiltal muta, that okay, it's not necessary to pick up the dust or to pick up the coin or whatever, but to sweep it with the foot, to brush that away, and then move away. If you don't carry muta by sweeping it with a broom, it's, if you were to do that to a coin, that would be like an animal thing to do. So why by the dust, we're treating it any differently? It should be an entire thing, because if it were a coin, you would be able to do that, huh?
So that's what good, very good. That's what the other Rishonim point out. This is called tilta mukta min atzad. If I handle the mukta with my hand, I move it like this, that's tilta mukta biyadai. If I handle mukta with my body, so most of the pasuk hold that that's hetagomer. Chazanish has a different version of everything. But the way it says in the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, the standard poskim, tilta mukta begufa is mutta. If you kick mukta with your feet, is mutta. But here he's holding the broom in his hand. He's not moving the dust with his feet. So this is tilta mukta biyadayim with his hands, but that's called menatzad. By handling a davar hamutta, let's say there's some mukta on the table. So I'm going to take, imagine that this is mukta. So instead of moving the mukta like this, I'm going to move the gemara like this. So maybe you're not allowed to use the gemara to move a mukta, it's a different question. But is it an issue of tilta mukta or not? So it is and it isn't. That's called tilta mukta minatzad. I'm moving the gemara with my hand, and I'm moving the mukta via holding onto a davar hamutta, holding onto a non mukta. So that's a contradiction between two gemaras that Tosfos points out in Perek Kira, in the third Perek. What's the halacha? Whether tilta mukta min atzad is mutar or rasa? There's a glaring contradiction. So the Balamor says, Amachlekes. There's two Gemaras, Amachlekes in the Gemara. And the Tosfos answer is the one that's accepted, not like the Balamor. There is a Machlekes, it is Gemara Gufim Perikira. And in Psach halacha, there's still a theory between two Gemaras. So the Ri Bala Tosfos in the third Perik, in Shabbos, the Ri Bala Tosfos points out that the answer to the contradiction is here, is the bottom of Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Goes over to the top of Mem Dalad and Aleph. So he says it depends. Tilta mukta min atzad l'sarach davar hamuta l'sarach davar ha'asa. Let's say someone's coming into the house. I'm afraid they're going to steal the money. I have $100 bill on the table. I'm afraid someone's going to steal the money. So what I can do is move the money off with my elbow. Tilta mukta begufa. Once the mukta is on the floor, so I can kick it with my feet to a different room, and I lock the door shut. So the person, the potential ganav, won't be able to steal my $100 bill. But if I'm going to move the $100 bill off of the table with the Gemara, That tilta mukta min atzad biyadayim. I'm moving the book, a book, whatever, a goyish book, not a gemara. So there's no shaila of using the gemara. So I have a goyish book, which is the davar hamuta, and I'm moving the mukta via handling the davar hamuta. But what prompts me? What motivates me to move the mukta? So that's tilta mukta min atzad. The tzarich davar hasa. I want to protect the money, so no one should steal it. So that would be asa. If it would be the tzarich davar hamuta, then it would be muta. Let's say I forgot to set the table on Erev Shabbos. I ate out my friends on Shabbos. I come back Shabbos morning, I'm having guests eating by me. You're going to see I left a $100 bill on the table. That's terrible. I left my wallet on the table. So if I want to get rid of it, not that I'm afraid that someone's going to gamble the money. It's not covered Shabbos to have money on the table on Shabbos. It doesn't look nice. So that's called the tzorach mekomo. I want to remove the muktzah from the table, the tzorach mekomo. So that's called the tzorach davar hamuta. If the tilta mukta min atzad is the tzorach davar hamuta, then it's mutter. And if it's the tzorach davar asa, then it's asa. So we hold la halacha taka that it is mutter to sweep the floor. Exactly for the reason that you said. This is called tilta mukta min atzad. The tzorach davar hamuta. Because it's the tzorach l'mekomo. He wants that the floor should be clean. Not that he wants to collect the dust. He wants to save the dust in another room because he's going to make an experiment. No, he doesn't need the dust. He wants it out of the room because he's choking every time someone walks. And they make a cloud of the dust, a dust cloud, that's causing everybody a pain in their eyes and they're choking. So that's Letzorach L'mkomo is considered Letzorach Davra Mutum. So in Echanami, that's why the Bahak says that it's Mutum. And the Gemara discusses a little bit about merabates. There is a machloike satanaim regarding merabates. If one will sprinkle droplets of water on the dust on the floor in order that the dust will all stick to each other, so that when the people walk on the floor, they won't cause this cloud of dust. So Reb Lazer, the first Brisa says that all six, Achelev, Hamchabit, Hamgabin, Hamchabit, Hamarabit, Barodach, Halas, Vash, all six of these constitute a Malacha Deraisa. Nechachamimim, Mechadzeh, Vechadzeh, it's only Midirabonon. All six are only Midirabonon. That's the Shaila, all six are only Midirabonon. Or Echadzeh, Vechadzeh, Rashi says, both on Shabbos and Yantav, it's only Midirabonon. They only argue on the second group of three. Not on the first group, okay. And others say, no, Echadzeh, Echadzeh, the first group of three, as well as the second group of three. So leave out, that's a different shayla. Whether milking a cow constitutes an Issa Deraisa or not, that's the top taser says. That depends on the machloikas. The Gemara says that Choylev is Malacha because it's Mepharik, and Mepharik is unclear what the Malacha is. So the most popular opinion is that it's a Tolda Dedosh. So that's where the Taptais has raised the issue. This was a repeat from Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, that if you hold Eindi Shaila B'Gedulei Karka, and you hold that Behemoth, Balechayim, are not Gedulei Karka, so milking a cow will only be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So then you can say, Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, both the list, the first three and the second three, everything is only D'Rabbanan. But it's usually assumed, like the Rambam, that milking a cow is a Malacha D'Raisa. So you can't say Echadzeh V'Echadzeh, the first group of three and the second group of three, all six are only with the Rabbanon, so that's why most assume, like Rashi, Echadzeh, Echadzeh, both on Shabbos and Yontif, it's only the Rabbanon. They don't argue on the first three. The group of the first three, everybody agrees that those are the Raisa. And this, the group of the second three, Amechabed, Ram Rabbis, Rodech, Al Zvash, that's the Machlokes, but that's the Raisa, the Rabbanon. So everybody agrees that Merabit is also just the Machlokes, whether it's a Nisa Deraisa and Nisa Derabbanon. So what does the Braisa tell you? The Gemara says over here, Tana, the line right before the Mishnah, Isha Chachoma, Rashi says, if her father or her husband are a Talmid Chacham, she herself is a Talmid Chacham. Okay. Rashi could visualize. Rashi had daughters who learned, but didn't think that his daughters are Isha Chachoma because their father was a Talmid Chacham. Eish is Talmid Chacham, Abbas Talmid Chacham. The Shama Me'aviyah, that's called an Isha Chachama, Mirabet is Besa B'Shabbat. There's a special hat, how can she be Mirabet is Besa? So Rashi writes, Rochef says Kitoidiyo is Bezo Bezu. The coat says Bezo Bezu. She'll rinse out cups over here, and she'll rinse out the jugs over there. A Kiton. Kiton is a jug, and a coat is a cup. That's because the Bryce said before a rotza. The rabbi says, basically, Shabbos, maybe a reva melei amayim. They should take a big container full of water. Rochez panim b'zov b'zu, yoda b'zov b'zu, ragla b'zov b'zu, v'nimtza b'ayis mitzrabitz me'elov. So it's a special heter. Sounds like it only applies to an isha chachomo or to a talmid chacham. A special heter that we permit them to violate the isha derabbanan. If merabitz would constitute an isha deraisa like the Tana Rav Blazer thinks, so how can you allow it for a talmid chacham? But because the whole isha merabitz we say is only midrabbanan, echad zev echad zein ala mishum shvus, we assume like the chacham is only an isha derabbanan. So since it's only an isha derabbanan, what's the gzerim derabbanan? Shema, people will be led to believe that there can be mashveh gumas on the floor. So Talmid Chacham knows that you're not allowed to be mashveh gumas. So as long as he makes it look like an accident, he washes pana b'zavizu, yada b'zavizu, ragla b'zavizu, kiturius b'zavizu, and kosas b'zavizu. If he's a Talmid Chacham or a bas Talmid Chacham, an eshes Talmid Chacham, and he makes it look like an accident, then it's mutter. It's a very interesting Gemara. So we had such a similar Gemara later. It's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Harama is Mutter on a Derabbanon, and it's not Mutter on a Melacha Deraisa. The Gemara tells a story. There was a Talmid Chacham who had his fields where his tvul was growing on the other side of the river. So he wanted to go on Shabbos in order to see how things are doing on the other side. But you're not allowed to go rowing in a boat. You're not allowed to go b'miyucha to have a non-Jew take you across the river in a raft or in a ferry. So the Talmid Chacham, there was a ferry that went every hour, and no charge, no fee. The municipality paid for it. So this Talmid Chacham went and he took a nap on the boat. He made believe that he was taking a nap. Then when the boat took off, he's still acting like he's sleeping. And he came to the other side of the river. All of a sudden he wakes up and he gets off of the boat. And it's not a shayla of chutz l'tchum, it's all terchatchum, and he goes and he starts strolling over there. So the Gemara says that the Balabatim came to complain in the yeshiva that the fellow is Machal Shabbos. Machal Shabbos is not a melacha deraisa, he's in violation of the din derabbana named Shatan apnei anor, that you're not supposed to go in the chavish shel shayat and gzev shem yisak, in the chavish shel shayat, he may be misak and mona. So the response was given, since the fellow was a tzur from a derabbana, and he's not in violation of an Issa Deraisa, it's only an Issa Derabbanon, so that's Harame and an Issa Derabbanon is Mutter. What does it mean Harame and an Issa Derabbanon? So he mentioned that the Nesivos has a collection of tshuvas that is called Nachlas Yaakov. He has drushes ala Torah. He was a rabbi in a shul, he had to give drushes. He has his style of drushes. And then he has Kiddushim al Shas, and then he has Shabbos and Shuvas in the end, Nachlas Yaakov. Some of them are by the Nesivis, some of them are by the Nesivis' grandson. So the first Shuvah that's written by the Nesivis and the Nachlas Yaakov is about the issue of Mechiras Chomet. So that's when it was just, that was the time that it was just picking up, it was just developing. Originally, from the days of the Rishonim, they had instituted a different Harama for Mechiras, Behemahama Vakeres. When a Jew had a cow that was about to give birth for the first time, and there's a 50-50 chance it may give birth to a Zohar, and if it gives birth to a Zohar, so it's a Dina B'chor Behema Tohira. So notwithstanding the fact that there was an opinion floating around that there's no Dina B'chor Behema Tohira no Yegin Chutz Loretz at all, so the Balei HaTosfos didn't follow that. The Meiri writes that in Provence they followed that opinion. That's the way it's said in the old editions of the Rambam. That there's no Dina B'chor Behema Torah Chutz Loretz at all. In our editions of the Rambam, that's what the Ravid is Masik, he never heard of such a ridiculous thing. Our editions of the Rambam, the text is already corrected and it doesn't say like that. It says there is a Dina B'chor Behema Torah is Noeg Chutz Loretz, but even if you fly the animal into the Beis HaMikdash, they won't be makrivit on the Mizbeah. That's a different story. Eimivim B'chor Mechutz Loretz to be makriv on the Mizbeah, but it has a Dina B'chor, has the Kedusha's part that you cannot shecht it until it gets a mum kavua, and you're not allowed to develop, you're not allowed to be matal mum in the animal, so you'll be stuck. So if there is a din of b'chor even b'zman hazeh, even b'zman shein beis hamikdash kayim, so the din of b'chor behemah Torah applies in America also. So there are some Jewish, some of them are religious, some of them are not so religious. There are Jewish farmers in the West, there are Jewish farmers in upstate New York who have cows who are giving birth. In Europe it was a common practice in recent years. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, all the Rishonim, they had cows. So it's going to give birth the first time, so it's a 50-50 chance that it may have a Zohar, And if it's a zachar, then you stop, then you have to wait till it gets a mum. You can't shecht it till it gets a mum. You're not allowed to cause it to develop a mum. So what they developed a solution to the problem was to sell a shutfis to a goy. They weren't interested in having any partners. As if you have a real partnership with a nochri, so then it solves your problem there. You don't have a din of chor behemah Torah when there's a shutfis akum. They weren't interested in having any nochri as shutfis. So they would sell a 1% shutfis to the nochri. They would sell a nochri a toe or something, or a part of the mother, which was part of the mother, part of the uber, which was really irrelevant for the business. But it was enough to remove the din of chor behemah Torah, and thereby they would patter the whole case from the din of chor behemah Torah. So this was the harama that the Balei HaTosfos talk about. Why is it that bizmana gemara that was assumed not to be allowed? Mchor is daf gimel on the base. Is it why is bizmana gemara? One of the amoraim did that. He sold the behemah hamavakeres to an ochri, and he was punished min hashamayim in kol chevose. All of his animals died. The Gemara took it as a punishment for doing that. And Mizmana Zeh, we do it all the time. So Tosfos gives a whole explanation. What changed from Mizmana Gemara to Mizmana Zeh? And they explain that Mizmana Zeh, it's okay. So that was the practice for years. In the days of the Nesivas, in the early 1800s, that's when they started to carry over that practice of Mechiras Behem, Muhammad Bakaris, the Ksosh of the Nesivas. They carried it over to Mechiras Chomet. Years ago, what do you mean? What are you going to sell Chomet? There were no refrigerators, there were no freezers. So what kind of Chomet? Unless you had a liquor store, so you had schnapps or beer. But the usual normal balabas, what's he going to sell? Cookies. The cookies are going to get spoiled. He's going to sell challahs. He's going to sell cakes and cookies and pancakes and everything. It's going to get spoiled over Pesach. So they would sell it to the goy and goodbye. They wouldn't sell it and buy it back after Pesach. We have the whole system. We have freezers full of food. We have houses full of spaghetti, apartments full of spaghetti. So we sell all the chametz to the goy and buy it back after Pesach. But years ago, only the liquor stores would do that. So it became more popular, the practice of Mechiras Chomet for all the Balabatim became a popular thing in the days of the Ktzos and the Nesivas. So that's why the Ktzos discusses when you sell the Chomet, you have to make all the six kinyonim in the Mishnah Berurah. Quotes from the Ktzos, which are the six kinyonim that you have to make in order to make sure that the Nochri is Kon, because we're not sure which kinyonim work, which kinyonim are valid when you're dealing with a Nochri. Not so sure which kinyonim work when you deal with another Jew. And when we deal with an Achri, it's a little more complicated. So the Nesivas has a tshuva to the Buchacha Rav, who is opposed to the practice of Mechiras Chomet. And he quoted from the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Maaseh Sheni. There is a Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni that speaks about a Mishnah that's quoted in the Gemara. Ketzad Marim Imala Maaseh Sheni Levdosa Balo Chomesh. It says in the Chumash, when the farmer is poted his own Maaseh Sheni, he has to be most of Chumash. If he sells the Maaseh Sheni to somebody else, and by their paying for the Maaseh Sheni, they're poted the Maaseh Sheni, the Maaseh Sheni becomes, you can do it in two ways. I can sell you the Maaseh Sheni, and you'll eat it in Yerushalayim, and the money will remain whole. That's one way. If you hold Maaseh Sheni, Mama Bailam. If you hold Maaseh Sheni, Mama Gavoya, you can't sell Maaseh Sheni. But if you hold the Maaseh Sheni, we happen to pass the Maaseh Sheni, Mama Gavoya. So you can't sell Maaseh Sheni. But if the din would have been like the other Tanoim, the din is like Rab Meir, Maaseh Sheni Mamun Gavoy, he can't be sold. If the din would have been Maaseh Sheni Mamun Bailam, so the Gemara says he can sell the Maaseh Sheni in one of two ways. I can sell the Maaseh Sheni to someone else that will remain Kodesh, because I can't go to Yerushalayim, I'm always Tomei, or I can't go to Yerushalayim, I'm busy over here. And you're going to go to Yerushalayim, so the money that you give me remains whole, and the Maaseh Sheni remains Kodesh, and I sold the Maaseh Sheni. And the other way of selling the Maaseh Sheni is L'Choladei, that when you give the money, the Kedusha switches from the Peris onto the money, and the Peris become Chol, and the money becomes Kodesh. And what you did in effect was you did an act of Pinyon. So then, when the Pinyon is done by somebody other than the farmer himself, he only gives the Keren, the other party only gives Keren, doesn't give Chomesh. When the Pinyon is done by the farmer himself, if the Bailam Aponah, then they have to be Moisiv Chomesh. So the Mishnah in Maseches Maaseh Sheni tells you, Ketzad Marimim Ala Maaseh Sheni Levdos Malo Chomesh. How can you develop a stunt? How can you develop a trick, a patent, to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni without being Maaseh Chomesh? He doesn't want to buy so much food. When he has all the money that's Kodesh B'Kedushas Maaseh Sheni, he has to use the money in Yerushalayim to buy Bokeh B'Tzayin V'Yayin V'Shecher. He doesn't want to add on another 25%. Maaseh Chomesh is a lot more. It's enough that he wants to be eating the keren, that amount of food in Yerushalayim. He doesn't want to be Maaseh Chomesh. So the Mishnah tells you how to get around it, how to be consistent. So the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Masheni comments on that Mishnah that that's the only case in the entire Chumash that we allow Ha'aroma. Why only by Toseches Chumash? Because the Pasuk says, Ki Yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. The Pasuk says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a blessing, and there was so much bounty, so much peiros, so the tvua grew so well, or the peiros grew so well, that's why you have such a brachim in Hashemayim. The whole reason why I put it in my Shasheni is because you have so much, it'll be too expensive to transport it to Yerushalayim. So because it says Brocha Ksivva, because it says Ki Yivarechecha, so the Pasuk is hinting to you that you have a right to drei and use whatever harama you can possibly use, whatever legal fiction you can use. It has to be legal though, in order to avoid Tosefes Chomesh. That's what it says in Yerushalayim. So that's what the B'chacha Rav Tainer. How can you go popularize this din that everybody should sell the chametz before Pesach and then after Pesach buy back from the goy? Isn't this a violation of harama? And it's not in the area of Tosefes Chomesh and Ma'aseh Sheni. It doesn't say bracha, so it should be a violation. So the Nesiva says, "Get, yeah, we don't pass like that, Yerushalmi. Why? B'haraya that the Bavli quotes that Mishnah in Gittin, and the Bavli in the first parak in Bavli is quoted and discussed." And the Bavli never says boop. Bavli never says that it's only applicable in that one rare case. There's no reason why the Bavli should have said this. It doesn't really prove anything. The Bavli isn't discussing the permissibility of using the haram. The Bavli is discussing other aspects of the Mishnah. The proof that he gives, the Pesach Shvacha proof. Anyway, but he assumes, the Nesivus assumes in his tshuva that the Bavli doesn't agree with the Yerushalmi. And therefore he says there's nothing wrong with doing a haram. And this is in disagreement with the Bchor Shor. He quotes, the Bchor Shor is a sefer on Masech HaShabbos, by the author of the Tvor Shor, who comments on this Gemara, that the Gemara says, Harama ana deraisa is aser, Harama ana derabanan is mutter. So the Bchor Shor understood Harama to mean legal fiction. That's what the expression means in the later Achroinim. When the Achroinim discuss using a legal fiction like Mechiras Chametz, Lamaisa, I have the Chametz in my house, so why am I not in violation of Bali Rabbi Motzei? So we sold it to a guy. We sold it to a guy, so therefore it's okay. Like there are Jews who keep their business open on Shabbos. You're not allowed to keep your business on Shabbos. They sell the business to the guy. And then after Shabbos, they buy the business back from the guy. So that's also harama. That's a legal fiction. But at least it's illegal. It's not illegal. It's a legal fiction. So the Bchor Shor says, he says, it's an offering Gemara. Harama is only mutter on a din de rabbana. Harama is not mutter on a din de rice. And Bal Yerubai Motze is a din de rice. So you're not permitted to do harama on a Nisa Derais. That was the Taina of the Bchor Shor. So the Nesiva says that it's not correct. What do you mean it's not correct? But it is a Gemara. The Gemara says Haram is only Mutar on a Derabana, not on a Derais. So the answer is, the case in the Gemara where they said Haram is Mutar on a Derabana, it's not a legal fiction. That case, the Tzurvam of the Derabana went and he made believe that he was taking a nap on the ferry, and the ferry took him across the river. That was totally illegal. It was outright in violation of the din de rabbanan, ein mishitin benohar. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to go rowing, or you're not allowed to go on a rowboat where they're going to the other side of the river on your behalf. It was outright in violation of the din de rabbanan. This is not what the Achronim referred to as harama. It's a different kind of a harama. Here, he's outright violating the isa de rabbanan, making believe that he's not. He's making believe that it was an accident. That he makes believe that he took a nap. Then he makes believe that he woke up when the ferry reaches the other side of the river. So the answer is that's the case that the Gemara is talking about. If you use a harama means a legal fiction, so the Nesiva says harama is mutar even on a din deraisa. It's not only mutar on a din derabanan. What we call harama legal fiction is mutar even on an issue deraisa. The Gemara is talking about a different thing, different kind of harama. The fellow is outright in violation of the issa derabanan. But number one, if he's a tzurfa with the rabbanon, he's a talmid chacham, and he knows what you're not allowed to do. He knows what you are allowed to do. So there's no chashash by him that if you'll permit him to do this, he may be misled and do the other thing. Yes, he said every talmid chacham is allowed to violate all gzeiros the rabbanon. A talmid chacham is allowed to write with his left hand because he knows he's not allowed to write with the right hand, and he's not going to make a mistake. He'll know only to write with his left hand. We're not matir all gzeiros the rabbanon for a talmid chacham. So the answer is, the Gemara says, it could be that that's a malochim of the Rabbanon, it could be that this is only by Xerah the Rabbanon. And the Gemara says, we only allow it, first of all, if the fellow is a tzurfim of the Rabbanon, Secondly, it's a gzeira. You're not allowed to do this because this may lead to that. They never even labeled it midrabbanan as a malacha. And number three, he does it in a fashion that the people who are watching don't realize that this is what he had in mind in the beginning. The whole thing looks like it was an accident. He makes it look like an accident. So in such a case, the Gemara Taka says that it's mutter. So that seems to be the way Rashi understood our Gemara. That the Gemara quotes a braisa, Hatanya, the Tanya, the third wide line on Sadekem and Aleph. I wrote to the rabbis is based on Bishadis, maybe I rave him, they might rush his punim, Bezovazu, Yoda, Bezovazu, Ragla, Bezovazu. This heter is only for a tzuvim and the rabbanon. Like the Gemara says later, Tana, Isha, Chachoma. If she's an Ashes, Tamachachom, or a Bas Tamachachom, and the previous braisa goes on a Tamachachom, a tzuvim and the rabbanon. So if the person is a Tamachachom or an Ashes Kaver, so if they make it look like it happened by itself, then we would be matam erabes. Otherwise not. It's a different kind of harama. It's an outright violation of the gzera. But it's a tamachacham and he makes it look as if this is what, not what he had in mind. But if you have a real, what we call in the later literature, an act of harama means a legal fiction. So legal fiction we would say is always muta. That's what the Nesiva says. It's always muta. Aitaisa says, the Gemara says there in Chorus Dab Gimlam and Beis that the fellow was punished, but he made a shutfus with the Nochri, nor to avoid the din of Chorbeim Torah. So he was punished and all the animals died, and they attributed the death of the animals to the fact that he violated this Harama. So Tosfos there distinguishes between Harama in the area of a mitzvah as opposed to Harama in the area of an Avera. If you do a legal fiction in the area of an Avera, and then it turns out that you didn't do any Avera, right? So no Avera, no Avera, it's okay. But if you do a haram in the area of a mitzvah, in the normal course of events, you would have had the mitzvah to fulfill. And because you did some kind of haram, so now you killed the opportunity, you killed the possibility of fulfilling a mitzvah. So that's not allowed. If I have a behemah that's about to give birth the first time, and if the animal that will be born will be a zohar, I have a mitzvah to give it to the kohanim. It'll be a matzah kun, even mizmanch. This man should be some big shoy kaim will have a mitzvah to be makrivin on the mizbeach. I feel this man should be some big shoy kaim. There's a mitzvah of giving it to the kohen. The kohen will have to wait till it gets him on. So if I do a shoot for sakum in order to avoid fulfilling that mitzvah because it costs a lot of money, I'm gonna lose the vlad. It'll be a fortune of money. So that the Gemara says you're not allowed to do. So if you do such a haram, the fellow was punished. The kolu kuluchei v'soy, all of his animals died. But Tosfos says, Bizman Azeh, what motivates us to make a shutfus with the Yaakov? Because we're cheap and we don't want to fulfill the mitzvah of Matnas Kuna, one of the 24 Matnas Kuna, to give the behemoth, the Bechor behemoth Torah to the Kohen. No, that's not what motivates us. We're afraid that someone's going to violate the Yisr. Someone's going to be Moel Behegdash. Someone's going to use the behemoth because you're not allowed to make a mum. And you have to wait till it develops a mum. So we're afraid that someone's going to use the animal to get on off from it, to ride on it, and to make it do work. Before it's going to develop a mum, before we're going to shecht it. So since what motivates us is our fear that someone's going to violate the Isurim, so harama to avoid violation of an Isur is other rabbi, that's permissible. So that's what we do to Maisa by Pesach also. We don't sell all the chametz in the house. We sell all the chametz and we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. No, we leave over little chametz, we fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. We sell, it isn't a bigger mitzvah if you burn a ton of chametz or you burn a little bag, a little ounce of chametz. You burn a kazayis of chametz, maybe it's burning a ton of chametz. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The only difference is that once I burn this kazayis of chametz, I'm yet to the mitzvah. The only thing is I don't want to violate Bal Yiroi and the rest of the chametz. If you sell it in the Nachri, so you're not in violation of Bal Yiroi. So by us, the Mechira's Chametz, what motivates us to do the Mechira's Chametz is not so much that we want to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah we're going to fulfill, bein kavu kavu, we're going to leave over a little Chametz and we're not going to sell. We're going to destroy that amount, that kizayis of Chametz. We're selling the Chametz in order to avoid violation of Bal Yiroi by Matzeh on the bulk of the Chametz. So harama to avoid violation of an Issa, that's perfectly okay. As opposed to harama to be mevatel a mitzvah. That's what the Rabbi Yomin Mendelson was, the Rav in Kibbutz Komi Meyut, Poel Agudi Kibbutz. So this is what they asked the Chazanish. Chazanish was tumbling for years that they should observe Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. They shouldn't rely on the Mechira. So many Rabbanim said, why not? Isn't it the same as Mechira's Chametz? Just like we have Mechira's Chametz is practiced for centuries, not so many centuries, just like Mechiras Chametz is practiced since the early 1800s, Mechiras Behema Mevakeres is practiced for centuries. So what's wrong if you sell Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs? So the Chazanish held that it's not the same. He couldn't exactly put his finger on it, why it's not the same. So this Rab Mendelsohn gave a distinction. The Chazanish thought that that is correct. They have it in the Pe'er Ador, in the biography of the Chazanish. They quote the Rabbi Binyamin Mendelsohn said it. The Chazanish thought that that was what was bothering him. He said, when you sell the Chometz, it's a harama in order to avoid violation of the Loiset, violation of the Bal Yerah Bai Matzim. The mitzvah of Tashbisi you're fulfilling anyway because you're burning a kizayis of Chometz. But if you're going to sell the karka and Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to come out. You're not going to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah shvisa sadehu. The Gemara says the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah that when it comes shnas hashmita, od mitzuva shvisa sadehu. Just like on Shabbos, od mitzuva shvisa behemto, there's a mitzvah of shvisa behemto. So too, whoever owns any bit of land in Eretz Yisrael, but it comes shnas hashmita, there's a mitzvah that you should leave it fallow. So you can't, so that's why in a lot of the Mizrahi kibbutzim where they sell, they rely on the Hetta Mechira, so they leave over a little bit of land where they, like by Mechira's Chametz, leave over a little Chametz that we're going to burn. So we're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa on that little bit of Chametz. 99.99% of the Chametz we sell to the guy. And the Kazais we leave over. So that's what they leave over, one little piece of land, they don't sell. So the Yais and the Mitzvah on that piece of land. And then the selling of the land to the Yav, 99% they sell to the guy. That's in order to avoid violation of the Yisr. So the Chazanish thought that Rav Mendelsohn was right. They both thought, no. Over here, every inch of land that you have is another mitzvah shvisa sadehu. You're not yotzei by leaving over one little bit of land. They have a whole kibbutz. Since the whole kibbutz is biyad Yisrael, so the mechuyav to leave the whole kibbutz fallow during shnas hashmita. And the other tells no, that it's a good comparison to mechiras chametz. As long as you leave one kezayis of chametz over that you're going to fulfill the mitzvah tashbisu. So it's not a haroma and a mitzvah says to see. They leave over a little piece of land that they don't sell to the Arabs. And they're selling of the rest of the farm to the Arabs. That's in order to avoid violation of the Yisr. And the mitzvah, the Yaita and the Mashahu over here. So this is l'chore, the way Rashi understood this Gemara. Isha chachama doesn't mean if the woman is clever. This heter of harom is only muta, the Gemara says later, for tzur from the Rabbanon. So if the woman is isha chavera, isha chachama, a bas tamachachem or an eishes tamachachem, so you also have the heter to do this harama. Harama means to violate outright, to violate an isa de rabbana, which is only a gzera. It's not a malacha, even with the rabbana, it's only a gzera. And the reason why for a tzuvim rabbana, why is it also? He knows what's right, what's wrong, what you're not allowed to do, because if he'll do it in such a way that everybody will realize that he's violating the gzera de rabbana, so he'll cause all the other people to violate it as well. So if he makes it look like an accident, then he's not causing the others to be nichshol. So that the Gemara says it would be mutar. You have such Gemaras in Beitza, you have a few other Gemaras like that. Surprising din. Okay, then we moved on a little bit to learn a little bit about Bona. Most of the malachas have a shear, and Bona, the shear is kolshu, a Bona kolshu. The Gemara says, what's shy of Bona kolshu? What can you accomplish by kolshu? And where was the Bona kolshu in the Mishkan? So the Gemara explains what could be accomplished by kolshu, and where there was Bona kolshu in the Mishkan. Till the Gemara works it out, the Gemara was discussing, what did they do Bona Kol Shehu for? So the Gemara says, maybe the people who are in charge of stitching or knitting the Urias for the Mishkan, so maybe they had metal needles, and then they would make a little Binyan Kol Shehu. They wouldn't make a whole chest, a whole cabinet in order to put a little needle in. Maybe they just dug a tiny little hole in the ground. That was the Bona Kol Shehu, and they would hide the needle over there. The Gemara says it does make sense. Kevin the Mishtaki, it's going to get rusty. It doesn't make sense that they should make a little hole in the ground in order to hide the needle there. They probably had a special cabinet where they put it. So the Gemara says, no, it must be, where did they have Bona Kol Shehu? In the Mishkan, so they're fishing around till they get something. So the Gemara says, well, maybe when they were cooking up the dye for the Urias HaMishkan, maybe they only cooked the exact amount that they thought they would need, And then it turned out in the end that they ran out and they just needed another few ounces. They don't have to cook such a gigantic pot full of dye, so they just have to cook a little bit. So that would be bona kol shul. So they need just a tiny little pot, and they need that this pot should sit on a tripod on the ground and it shouldn't fall. So the tripod, you just need a tiny little hole in the ground in order to put the legs of the tripod. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? When they would be building the Mishkan, they would do it in such a cheap way. The Gemara argues by using an expression, Ein anias b'mokam ashiris, an expression that appears in quite a few other places in Kochim. It means in the Beis HaMikdosh, here the context is in the Asiyas HaMishkan. The other Gemara that talks about in the Beis HaMikdosh, they did not do things in a cheap fashion. They did it with a big sweep. So it doesn't make sense to say that they're going to only cook the exact amount of dye that they're going to need for the Mishkan, and then it turns out the last minute that a little bit of it evaporated, or they were off by an ounce, and now they have to cook another ounce. It does make sense. They probably cooked much more than they really needed, and they had left over. Ain't on these b'malkam ashiyus. So Gemara finally says, where do you have an example of bona kosher? But that's the halacha. The bona kosher was also chayv. Yeah. I don't know. In the Beis HaMikdosh, that's where you draw the line. Beis HaMikdosh has to be like it's an Arman Shal Melech. So by the Melech, they do things in a big way. And when it's Shal Yisrael, it's not Shal HaMelech. So then you got to skip a little bit. I guess so. Habona is one Melech, and then Hamakeh B'Patish is another Melech. Exactly what does it mean, Hamakeh B'Patish? So here there is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashi and they disagree. Rashi learns that when you're chiseling out a big stone from a mountain to separate it, so you start carving around and around, and when you finally give the final bang that causes the stone to become detached from the mountain, even though it's just in the shape of a stone, and you can't use it yet until you make it into the right shape that's going to be needed for the building purposes, that's what it means, Bakaba Patrish. Rashi learns, Tosfos quotes the Rashi, Shemefotis Boaz Hasela Lachasha Chatzova. When he starts to chisel around the stone, and the final bang that he gives to detach it from the mountain. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They say in the Mishkan it never happened. The Mishkan Lohay Binyan Avarim. So why should they give that example? That's the whole argument of Tosfos against Rashi. That how could that be the Av Malacha? The Av Malacha has to have been in the Mishkan. Whatever was similar to was in the Mishkan is called the Toldos. So there was no Binyan Shalavon. So how can that be the Av? That's the whole argument just from history. It's not an argument in Halacha. I don't know. It could be that they're arguing in Halacha as well. Because where Rashi says it's a big Chiddush, that's called Makab HaPatish. That's not yet the Gemar of the final thing. The Gemar is going to be when the stone is now chiseled to the right size. Let's say you look at the Kosla Maravi. So they have these gigantic stones, which originally they detached from a mountain somewhere, but then they had to chisel them to make them into the right shape, into a rectangular shape, and so on. They didn't use it the way it was detached from the mountain. The Rashi seems like he's saying that at the final step of each stage in the production of something, the final stage is a violation of Makabat Patish, even though it's not. The final stage of one unit of the production is Makabat Patish, even though it's not final, it's not yet the final stage of the whole story. And it could be that Tosfos is in disagreement in Halacha with Rashi, not just in history. Not just that they argue, how can that be the Av Malacha if it wasn't in the Mishkan? Could be that they would disagree with that and hold that it's not true. Makabat Patish is only when it's Mamish, when you're holding by the end. So what does Tosfos say? Nulari, Dai Makabat Patish, and Maku Shachron. Where did they get that terminology from? That's from Maseches Avodah Zarah. Morna Avodah Zarah talks about Chalipi Avodah Zarah. If I have a Dovah Shal Avodah Zarah, which is Asa Bahanoah, and I sell it to an offering, he pays me money in exchange. So the Din is Avodah Zarah Tafesis Nameha. And all these Suri Hanoah, if I have Basa Bechola, if I have Klai Akerim, I have Orlo, I have Seyonaz, I have Petach Hamor, whatever you have, and the Mishnah says you sell it to someone else, so the money is not Tafes Domo. There are very few things. Shvius is Tofesis Nameha, because Shvius is referred to in Chumash and Parshas Bahar as Kodesh. it says Kodesh Tiyalachem. So the first time it says Kodesh, it goes on the Kedushas Hashanah, that the Shana Hashviyas has Kedushas Man. Then it says the second time Kodesh. So again, the Shana is Kodesh. So the second time goes on the Peres that Gromish Nasa Shmita, that the Peres are Kodesh. What's the relevance, what's the significance of the Peres being Kodesh? So we know what the Dinim are. It says, V'hoysa Shabbos Arts Lechem Liochlo. Liochlo v'lo l'schor, v'lo l'melugmo, v'lo l'hefsid, v'lo l'menachis. There are a lot of restrictions. Everything is based on the Pasuk Liochlo. So what do you need Kodesh to say that the Peres Shviyas have Kodesh? The whole relevance, the whole significance of the Kedusha Peres Shviyas is in order to lead up to that din of liochlo below the schor below the menachos. That's already liochlo, and you have the diok below the schor below the menachos. So what do you need another pasuk kodesh? So the answer is that Gemara says in the end of the second parak in Kedushin, kodesh tells me that just like hegdish is teifas damav, if hegdish the gizbash of hegdish auctions something off to the highest bidder that they don't need, it doesn't auction off the beis hamikdash that they need. But let's say someone donates an elephant. What's he going to do with an elephant? So a guy donates a mansion in Yerushalayim. A guy donates a mansion in New York. So what's the gizbah going to do? He doesn't need a branch in New York. There's an auction off the mansion to the highest bidder. He's going to use the money for fixing up the Beis HaMikdash. So the din is that the mansion is hegdish. When you sell it to the highest bidder, when the gizba sells, auctions it off, sells it to the highest bidder, so the kedusha goes off from the mansion and goes on to the money. That's called hekdushas teifas as domov. So the pasuk describes perishviz as kodesh. I already know what the dinim are. What the relevance of the kedushas perishviz is? Liochlo. Ha'isa shabbos arts lachem liochlo. V'lo l'menachas v'lo l'schor. No, it's called kodesh to tell me that it's teifas as domov. That if you sell perishviyas, so the perishviyas always remain kodesh. They're not yotze l'chulin. Hegdish is yotze l'chulin, but the perishviyas are not yotze l'chulin. The original piri retains its kedusha, but the money that's given in exchange for the perishviyas also tefes is dollar. The Gemara has a pasuk that Avodah Zarah is also tefes is damer. These are the only two. I'll be pashtus. You have the Mishnah and kedusha only has two things that are rasa banor that are tefes in the meim. One is perishviyas is tefes damer. And Avodah Zarah is tafes is damer. And Hegdish is tafes is damer. So the how do we get involved in this topic? I forgot already. Oh, Maku Shakra, yeah. So the Gemara in the last parak of Avodah Zarah has a din midirabbanan. This is not a din min haTorah. Just like if he's selling a davar shel Avodah Zarah, let's say he's selling an idol, a pesel, that's worship, or he's selling yayin netzah. So he's selling an object and they're paying you money for it, so that's teifas es domov. So the money becomes also bahano as well. So the Gemara has such a din mid the Rabbana, and this part is already not min haTorah. Let's say I do pe'ula on behalf of Avodah Zarah. They engage me, the Nochrim hire me to make a pesel. They want a pesel, whatever, in the shape of Dr. Belkin. I don't know. That was made by a Jew, wasn't made by a non-Jew. So it's not Avodah Zarah, okay, it's still us. It's us to make the shape of a face. So let's say the guy hires me, I should make an Avodah Zarah which he's going to worship. So I make the whole thing and it's beautiful, and then in exchange they're going to pay me $10,000. Right? So the Gemara discusses, does the money become Masa Bahanua? They're paying me money as Chiras Poilim, not really paying me money as the Meha Mekach. So on the level of the Raisa, the whole topic of Avodah Zarah Tafes Samel doesn't apply. But the Gemara has the Chumrim and the Rabbanan. This is the first daf in the last parak in Avodah Zarah. There is a chumer midirabbanan that if a poel is paid salary for the work that he did, and the work that he did was that he made a pesel, he made a dovish al avodah zarah, so all of the money becomes also bahano. midirabbanim. That's called Tefeses Nemer. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, how much money did they pay me for making the pestle? So the Gemara says, it depends. Do you say, Ein l'schiris elo l'besof? Or do you say, Yesh l'schiris metchil l'yatsof? They gave me this block of whatever material, and a hammer, and a chisel, and they say, make a statue of an elephant, whatever, and we're going to worship the elephant. The way you make it, they show me what they want it to look like, and I carve out the elephant. So I'm banging for days and days and weeks. How many times did I have to bang in order to make the elephant? A million times. And they agreed to pay me $5,000 for the whole thing. So they say, when do they become, whenever you agree to, let's say a guy paints a house. It takes him 3 weeks till he paints the whole apartment. And then I agreed to pay him $5,000 for painting. So they say, the last, how many times did he have to move his arms? A million times. He had to move his arm up and down, a million times. So they say, every time he moves his arm, I owe him another nickel. I owe him another nickel. I owe him another nickel. And then the last final paint, the shmir of paint, I owe him a nickel for that. That's called Yeshen L'Schiris Mitzchim V'Yatsof. And he say, Ein L'Schiris Elo L'Besof. I don't owe him a penny until he finishes the job. When he does, what the Gemara calls the Makush HaAchron, the final bang, the final clap, when he's chiseling out this statue, so then it becomes a chiyuv. I owe him now all the $10,000. I owe him now all of the $5,000. That's a guy quits in the middle of the job. So the last chisel that he did, the last bang that he did, that's called the Makush HaAchron. So then I only pay him, he only did, let's say, half of the job, or one-fifth of the job. And he quits in the middle. So then I consider it that the last klap that he did before he quit, that was Mechayev, the Balabas, to pay him one-fifth of the total amount. That was the Makush HaAchron. Makush HaAchron isn't always the last final bang of the whole job when it's all finished. It means the last Makush HaAchron of how much work he's going to do. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, where the Shaila had a pasuk in Halacha, where the Yeshna L'Schiris Mitzchil L'Yatsof, that's for sure that the painter in my house can't paint one brush and he says, give me a nickel. And he's going to paint another brush full and he says, give me another nickel. That the Gemara says for sure. You're not mechayev to pay him the money till the very end, till he's finished. But the machlokes in the Gemara is, theoretically, when is the chiyuv chal to pay? They say, yeshna l'schiris mitchil v'yatsof, and they say, ein l'schiris el l'besof. So the Gemara says, if I was commissioned to make an elephant as a statue and they want to worship it, in this temple they worship elephants, and they agree that they're going to pay me $5,000 for making this elephant. So do you say that the full $5,000 becomes also banor? Because when I did the final Makush HaAchron, that's when they become mechuyev to pay me the $5,000. So it comes out the full $5,000 is paid on behalf of my making them an avodah zarah. That's when it becomes an avodah zarah, when it's completed. Or do you say, no, every chisel that I did, every clap that I did, they owe me another nickel, another nickel, another nickel. And the Makush HaAchron said, they owe me a nickel, so I'll tell them, take off a nickel. It turns out that I made a Dovah Shalom Bedezor for them, the Makush HaAchron. At the time that I did the final clap, the Makush HaAchron, that's the Dovah Shalom Bedezor. So you subtract, instead of paying me the $5,000, so pay me $4,999.95, and you keep a nickel. I'll give him back a nickel and that'll be the end. Sure. Everything else will be muta b'ano, and the last nickel will be also b'ano. So this expression, Makush HaAchron, is a term that appears in the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the first daf in the last perek in Avodah Zarah. So that's what Taisha says over here, by Makah B'Patish, when you're completing something, so when you do the Makush HaAchron, the final stage, Makah L'Klei B'Shaz Gemar Melacha, that's called Makah B'Patish. The Pashtus, you get the impression that Taisus is in disagreement with the halacha that Rashi said, not just in disagreement. Historically, it doesn't belong among the others, it belongs among the Taldas. No, they hold this wrong. When you finish one stage, but you're not finished with the Makush HaAchron, you didn't get to the completion yet. You didn't get to the finale yet. So Rashi was mechadish that if you have a product that's made in several units of Asiya, so when you finish each step of Asiya, that's a Makah B'Patish on that stage in Asiya. So that's also a Malacha Derais. And Tosfos seems to be disagreeing that it's only called Makah B'Patish if it's the final stage of Asiya. The very end.
If you're a Kabbalah and not a Sofer, so it's totally Talmud Deraisa? Because of Omen Kohen B'Shachli?
Umekoyin b'shvachkli is a machlokes in bavakama. How we pass?
You would be considered selling, and we'd be tofes dama.
Yeah, then I'll be tofes dama midaraisa. That's right. That's right. If the din would have been, I think most hold that Uman is not kind of Mishvakli. There are some Shoinim who are not so sure, who think that maybe Uman is kind of Mishvakli. Then it'll be their Isa. That's Mamish Tefes Dhamma. Yes. Some hold that Uman kind of Diktsois, and the Nesivis both have Uman kind of Mishvakli. Just means that it's a Shikud. It doesn't really mean it belongs to him. It's a Vaita. It's only meshubit to the Schiris poilam, so it's not. But if you learn literally, umekayim shakli mamish is, then he's selling it. So then it's mamish mechiris avodah zarah. That is the real din deraisa of avodah zarah tefes istamehu. So we have these two malachas, you have bonei and makabat patish, and it's not easy to distinguish between the two. When is one a violation of bonei? When is one a violation of makabat patish? The Chazanish came up with his chiddush that whenever you complete an electrical circuit and you plug in the plug of a refrigerator or a fan and it starts to function, or you lift up the receiver on the telephone and you complete the circuit, he thinks that this completing a circuit and something starts to function, that this is a malacha. The Rashi is just not sure what is bona makaba patish. And all the others disagree. The whole completing a circuit is the worst it can be is only the Rabbanon, maybe it's even Mutta, maybe it's only Osam Itam Minik. But the Chazanish, who holds that it's a malacha deraisa, he himself says he's not sure. He can't tell whether it's bona makaba patish. It's a problem. How do you determine whether any given activity is bona makaba patish? Here the Gemara has a machlokes between Rav Shmuel in three cases. Oh, it's a neked belushal tana goylem. So it sounds like it's a machlokes. Rav says bona, Shmuel says makaba patish. I'll suksu b'kopina demora. He has a hammer. And you need a wooden handle, and you need the metal piece on top. So he puts the two together, he puts in the wooden handle into the hole, into the metal on top, and now he has a hatchet, or a hammer that can function. So that is a violation of a malocha. Is that bona? Is that makaba patish? Now, Mesatis is also machlokes. So this is very unclear. What exactly is the machlokes over here between Rav and Shmuel? Is there any common denominator between the three cases? Or are they totally three different machlokes? And then maybe there's no machlokes. Maybe Mara Machoda will not pligi. Questionable. It wouldn't appear so in the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. But the Lechem Mishnah points out there's a stira in the Rambam. Some cases the Rambam writes like Rav, in some cases he writes like Shmuel. You can see by the tziyunim over here, by the letter hey, vav, in Zion. That one case, in Zion, he's paskening like Rav. In the letter hey and vav, he's paskening like Shmuel. So isn't that a contradiction? Isn't that a contradiction? Unless you say that there's no machlokes, they never really had a machlokes. Everybody is with each other. Wouldn't appear so from the Gemara. So what exactly is the Rambam is problematic. So the question is, are these three l'shitosam? Not necessarily l'shitosam. The three cases are totally unrelated to each other. So what exactly are the three machlokes? So as a neked b'lul shel tanigolim, when you make a pesel hotzi l'hachnis l'hotzi, so that's a malacha. That goof is Rashi has two pshatim. If you have a pesel hotzi l'hachnis l'hotzi, is that a malacha of bone or is that a malacha makabat patish? That itself is unclear. That's the Rashi by and Kuv Zayinim and Aleph. By the Machis Murs, the Machis Murs is a Mishnah in Adias that's quoted in the Gemara in different places. So on Kuv Zayinim and Aleph, Rashi writes the two Pshotim. Machis Murs, Oysolo, Lassus Lopeh, Kederach Shaharofim Osim, that's how Rashi and the Ram quotes from the Tsefta in Adias. Kederach Shaharofim Osim, so then it's a Malacha, so that's unclear which Malacha is it. So the Taisus and Ardaf, and Kuv Beis Amid Beis, quotes from the Gemara Kuv Mevav, that a oise pesach only constitutes a malacha, whichever malacha it is, if it's osi lahachnis alahotzi. So Taisa suggests maybe the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel over here is by the lul shel tana goylim. Maybe they're arguing is this called lahachnis alahotzi? Maybe it's only lahotzi as ha reyach hara, but it's not lahachnis. Maybe I should say it's lahachnis to get fresh air to come in and to get the stench of the lul shel tana goylim to go out. So the only time it'll be chaimishim bone if it's lahachnis lahotzi, and if it's only lahotzi and not lahachnis, Then it'll be chay mishum makaba patish. The whole thing is called a chiddush. That pesach osi lahachnis alahotzi is bone. And it's only lahotzi, not lahachnis, it'll still be a malacha. But it won't be bone, it'll be makaba patish. And the Gemara, it would appear, if it's not lahachnis lahotzi, it's not their isa. So how did Tosis come up with a whole new story over here? This little Tosis, Lol Shel Tana Goylem. The Tosis High Mind Dial Sufsa B'Kapin in the Gemara says this Gemara is a Tiyufta against Rashi. There are three Rayas that they consider irrefutable against Rashi. Rashi Shita was earlier in the Masechta. And I in Dalar Amibes that ain't binyan b'kelim at all. Even if you make a kli yesh meyayin on Shabbos, there's no violation of bonus. So Tosis said it's not true. The only time you say ain't binyan b'kelim is ain't chilik b'kelim lekarkel b'mokim shein chizuk v'yumnus. The b'kli lechosh binyan. If you have a kli shal prokim and you take it apart, you put it back together again. You don't need ain't a tzarch umen lahachaziro. You don't need an expert. You don't need a mumche to put it back. Anyone knows it's a portable sofa or it's a collapsible bridge table, and you open up the legs, you close the legs, you're not doing it b'chozek. If you bang a nail in, then the Gemara says if you make it imtoka chayiv chatas, that's the Gemara Mem Zayin. If you do it in a tight fashion, the two pshatim on the word toka, toka means you banged in a nail, a toka means you did it in a very tight fashion. So if you did it b'chozek, Tosis translates toka means you did it b'chozek, so then it will be a malacha deraisa. Even if you didn't do it b'chozik, you did it b'nachas, but you have to be an umen in order to put it back together again. That'll also be yesh binyan b'kelim. But if a mokim shein chizuk, ein tzarech umnes, so then the karkat will be bone, and the kli it won't be called bone. That's what Tosis claims. How do they know that this is true? That sometimes there is binyan b'kelim. So one raya they bring is from our Gemara. So the Gemara talks about ayel sufsa b'kupina demora. So one of the Rav says that it's Chai Mishum Bonet. So you see that there is Binyan Mikhailim. It's enough in the Gemara. How can Rashi disagree? So the Vilna Gaon writes, Rashi obviously understood that this goof, at this point itself, is the debate between Rav and Shmuel. That Rashi holds that that's what Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and although usually Hilchus HaKirab B'Sirik Yishmuel B'Dinei, Rashi holds that all the Gemaras that say Ein Binyan Mikhailim support Shmuel. That over here we have to pass on Shmuel that there's no Binyan. I said, why does it say Mem Zayin? Im Toka Chayv Chat? The answer is no. Shmuel also means that Yichayv Shemakaba Patish. If you do Bechozek, Toka means either you banged in a nail or you screwed it in tightly. Toka Chayv Chat. So the Rana on the Rif says, Toka Chayv Chat is Mishumakaba Patish, not Mishumbona. So these were two of the three kashas that Tosis says. Then the third kasha was from the Erev and Daf Lamed Hei. The Gemara talks Beferish, Babinyan Estira. In a Migdol Shalet, you have a wooden piece of furniture. You have a big piece of furniture in one's apartment, and you left a box of matzahs for the purpose of Erev Chatzeres or Shetufa Mavuas in the wooden furniture, and it's locked, and you don't have access to it. So the din is that the Erev, in order to be allowed to carry on Shabbos, you have to have number one mechitzas around the whole area to convert it into Rishus Hayochid. And number two, there's a Takana Shleim HaMelech that the Gemara talks about in the beginning of the second parak in Erevin. Then when Shlomo HaMelech made the takana, Bafko came out from heaven and gave him a big yashikai chacham b'ni, alkein yismach libi gamoni, and they approved the Bezer Shlomo, the Rebbe Shlomo approved the takana Shlomo HaMelech that requires an Erev Chatzeres. Even though it is a Rishus HaYochid, there is a mechitza around and around, but you still have to have that all of the Shomri Shabbos have to participate and all put the lechem together. So it should be considered as if they're all living in the same place. They all left their suda. They all left the muzzin for the suda in the same place. So that food, if it's an Erev Chatzeres, has to be dafke pas, lechem. If it's a shetuf and mavuas, then the Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak in Erevin, bakol mi'arvin. You can use anything for Erev Chumen or for shetuf and mavuas. The Erev Chatzeres, Tosin says, they can't use any food. Can't use fish or kugel or cholent or potatoes. It has to be dafke pas. But for shetuf and mavuas or for Erev Chumen, so it says bakol mi'arvin, other foods are acceptable. So this food, either it's going to be the pas, the lechem for the Erev Chatzeres, or whatever kugel or cholent or fish or pickles that you're going to use for the shetuf and mavuas, has to be in a place that it's accessible. Everybody has to know where it is, and they all have to be suda haruah lebalei mabod yom. Has to be roi lachila, the shomer Shabbos in the area who have the shutfis in this Erev have to be able to eat it. What if it's locked up in a piece of furniture and no one has the key? it's in someone's apartment, they have the key to his apartment, but they don't have the key to the freezer. He put the Erev HaTzeres in the freezer and they can't get into it. So the only way to get access to the freezer is by banging down, by breaking the whole freezer. So the Gemara says, well, you have a problem. If Beit HaShemesh is the whole, is there a way in the world that they can get to that food? That they only have to violate an Issa Derabbanan to get to the food Beit HaShemesh is. So we have a din called, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, we pass like Rebbe, this is in the first Perek in Shabbos, and in the Erevin in the Lamed, over there, Taka Lamed Hed, called Dabba Shum Mishum Shmuz La Gozwala Beit HaShemesh. If it's only a Gzera Kalo, if it's a Malach Derabbanan, there's no Heter. Even if it's a Gzera Chamura, there's no Heter. Taisha chisels it down. It's only if it's a Gzera Kalo, and it's Beit HaShemesh, it's called Dabba Shum Mishum Shmuz La Gozwala Beit HaShemesh. If you really a Makam Mitzvah, Makam Tzara Godel, so you can be makel during Beit HaShemesh. So the Gemara says if the prohibition evolved and breaking down the whole freezer would have only been an Issa Derabbanan in order to get your food out, and theoretically if it would have been a big Shas HaTzak we would have permitted that Beit HaShemesh, so that's called Sudar Riyah Lebaileo Beit HaShemesh. So the Gemara says, well, what's Taka the Din? If you have a big wooden piece of furniture, a Migdal Shalait, and the food is locked up there, no one has the key, so will that constitute an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabbanan to break it down? So the Gemara says it depends. Is it binyan bekelim? Is it not binyan bekelim? Is the stira binyan stira bekelim or not? So Taisa says you see beferish from the Gemara that even though it's a kli, it's a migdal shalait, there's a discussion of binyan stira deraisa in kelim. So the Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos quotes the Or Zarua. That's one of the later Rishonim. The Ramah quotes the Or Zarua, who writes that Gemara in Erev must be talking about a kli hamachzik memso, a migdal shalait. A migdal shalait does mean a little end table. Migdal shalait means a big piece of wooden furniture that's so big it has the volume of memso. What's the significance of kli hamachzik memso? So the halacha says that it's not makabel tumah. That's the Mishnayis and Aholos like that. Kli eitz habo b'mido. If you have an Aron Kodesh, the Gemara has a story in Megillah. Someone died in the room adjacent to the shul, and the Kohanim couldn't go into shul. And it was on Shabbos, so they couldn't take the mace out. So the Kohanim couldn't go into the shul as a promise. So the Gemara says, move the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is always a heavy piece of wooden furniture. So move the Aron Kodesh from the Mizrachban to the wall, and it should block up the whole space that opens up in between the room where the mace is and where the Mispalalim are going to daven. And this will block up the whole entranceway so the Tumah can't pass in. So the Gemara says, but we have a cloud, the Dover HaMakabal Tumah in a Chaitz is Bifnei HaTumah. So the whole Aron Kodesh is a Kli Shalait, so Kli Shalait is Makabal Tumah. So how can it prevent the Tumah from going through? It itself is Makabal Tumah. So the Tumah goes through and through it. It's Makabal Tumah, the Tumah keeps on moving. The Gemara says, no, it was such a gigantic Aron Kodesh, it's a Kli Eitz Abo B'mido. If it's a Kli Eitz Ha'asi Lenachais, it normally sits in one location, they never move it. On this one occasion, they move the Aron Kodesh. Why is it Asin Lenachas? Why does it sit in one place? Because it's very heavy. Why is it heavy? Because it's gigantic. So if you have a Kli Eitz Habo B'mido, it's Machzik Memso. Memso is the Shir for a Mikveh. How big is the Shir for a Mikveh? So Gemara says, and Loya Perakum Sofim, it's Amo Alama Barum Gimel Amis. 3 cubic amis. That's not so much. Amo Alama Barum Gimel Amis. So a lot of times you have such a piece of wooden furniture that's so gigantic. Let's say you have sometimes a bookcase. So if you have a very big bookcase, so it's considered as if the svarim in the bookcase, sometimes the svarim are half in and half out. But let's say you push all the svarim in, so it's considered as if all the svarim are in a different reshus. As if the bookcase, which is in the middle of the room, is considered in a different reshus. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about, let's say, also the shamish mitasai in a cheder sheyesh bo sefer Torah. So here there's no Sefer Torah, there are Svarim. So also the Shamish Mitasa. So if you push all the Svarim into the bookcase, it's considered, and the bookcase is gigantic, it's Masig Memso, so it's considered as if all the Svarim are in a different room. Because the reason why the Halacha says that it creates above the Nida is not Mekabotum, it's not like Lolim, Klei Avorim, Klei Adoma, despite the fact that it's Halacha, that it's not Mekabotum. No. Rashi and the Rambam hold that it's not considered a Kli, it's considered a Cheder. It's considered an ohel. Where's that Rashi and Tosfos? That's in Perek Kiro, a mem dalet on the base. There's a tesis. It's kedai we should learn that tesis when we learn kira. Ve'en matelasim ubiyar lameh. So there's a machlekes Rashi and tesis there. So the tesis has kashas against Rashi. So in the sefer, the little sefer Chidushi Haran, he comes to defend Rashi. So he explains that Rashi shita is the same as it says in the Rambam. Rashi shita is that kliyet habav amido is not makabel tumba because it's considered a cheder. It's considered an ohel. It's not that it's a kli that's not makabel tumba. It's not considered a kli. So the Mishnah Brewer writes that the same over here. If you have svarim that are in such a big bookcase and they're not half in and half out, all the svarim are pushed in, so that whole gigantic bookcase, which is machzik mem saw, if it has the volume going around and around from the outside, you measure it from the outside, not from the inside. If it's, even though the thickness of the wood of the bookcase can't be machzik anything, it doesn't contain anything, but that's a Mishnah in Aholos, that you measure the kliyetz above a meter from the machlek b'sham b'zil, we pass like b'zil, you measure from the outside. So that's considered a novel. So that's what the Ozarua is miyashev this Rashi. Tosis had quoted the third kasha against Rashi was Meir van Daflam and Hay, that a Migdal Shaleitz has an issue of binyan astira. So you see, beferish it's a portable kli. So the Ozarua says no, even though it's portable, but it's machzik memso, talking about gigantic Migdal Shaleitz. So since it's machzik memso, it's dinaka ohel. Rashi didn't mean to say that there's no binyan betolish, there's only binyan b'mechuber. No, you can have binyan b'tolush also, not the kelim. So if you have a kliyet habob amida, although it's tolush, but it's considered a cheder, it's considered an ohel, like Rashi l'shitasoi, and daf mem dalet. That is not considered a kli at all. Anyway, this was the taina. Tosfos had three tainas against Rashi. So the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agon Hilchos Shabbos says the teretz to the taina from this gemara is that Rashi understood that this kufa was the machloikis Rabbi Shmuel. Whether any binyan b'kelim is an absolute statement, you never have binyan b'kelim. That's what Shmuel holds. That's why it's only chayim shemak about patish. And Rav holds no. That's Rav holds like Tosfos. That's yeshlo. If it's umnes or chozek, if you need umnes or you do it b'chizuk, so then Rav holds that it can be binyan b'kelim. And for one reason or another, Rashi holds that we pass like Shmuel on this machloikis. Yeah, what? Very strange. That's what the Bir Agro understands as the machloikis within Rashi. So that's how Rashi understands the machloikis Rabbi Shmuel by the Ayil Silks of the Kupin and the Mora. Others give other suggestions. What is exactly the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel over here? He completed a kli here. So the Miri has a fantastic interpretation. Maybe the machloikis is in Hilchas Makabat Patish. Maybe Makabat Patish is only a violation if he already has a kli and he puts on the finishing touches on the kli. But if he completes the kli, he's mashlim the kli. I'll still compete in the mar, now it can function as a kli. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So Shmuel says this itself is Makabat Patish, and Rav holds no. Makabat Patish would only be if he would put finishing touches onto a kli that already is functional. But if he makes it into a functional kli, that's not Makabat Patish. That's only Chaim Shimbona. That's how the Miri has in the Minchas Kina quotes a Machrenim who had such a suggestion. And the Gemara has a discussion on the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Afamaka Bekurnis Ala Sedin, Bishas Malocha, Chai Mishum, Ifnei Shehukim is Sakein Malocha. What is he doing? He takes a hammer and he bangs it on the Sedin. So what is he doing? So first the Gemara is, my God, what in the world did he do that's wrong over here? Just to take a hammer and to bang it on the block that you bang on. But he doesn't have any shoe there. He's not banging any nails into the shoe. Nothing is holding together now. He's not fixing anything that's broken. So the first suggestion was, if you practice in order to train yourself into becoming an uman, to do something, ma'aminus yodo, that itself is a misakin mona on yourself. If you develop a technique, so developing a technique is a misakin mona on your own body. So the Gemara says, how can that be? You mean to say, if I watch someone do some surgery on Shabbos, watch someone do a procedure on Shabbos, and I learn just by watching how to do that, so that's called Misakin Mona, because I improve my ability to function. misak mana on yourself. The Gemara says that's ridiculous. And the Gemara says that something is accomplished over here. What is accomplished? So Rashi explains lahakli kakurnis, that when you bang with the hammer on a piece of jewelry or something, so the bottom part of the hammer is probably going to get a little crooked. So every couple of times you bang three times on jewelry, then you bang once the hammer without any jewelry, to make sure that the flat part of the hammer that you're banging on should retain its smooth shape. So the hasna kakurnis is in the second one on the kurnis. So that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to in the Mishnah. But this is really, this Gemara is a very major Gemara. When do you label some activity as boner? When is it labeled as makabat patish? And is it possible to be labeled as both? Can you be chayv shtayim? Makabat patish, he only accomplished one thing. Can it be chayv shtayim? That part he had a machlokes rishonim. Or can you say, you can either label it as boner or makabat patish, like the Chazon Ish says. So that's legitimate. You can say like that. You don't have to give a clear definition. This is what the Sfarim were composed on this, were written on this topic. How do you determine whether anything is bona makabat patish? That's the shayla. Opening up cans on Shabbos, opening up soda bottles on Shabbos, opening up wine bottles on Shabbos. Is it bona makabat patish? Is it both? Is it neither? Is it either? Different shittas. A major shayla. Okay, the Gemaras are not here. Part of the Gemaras are here, part of the Gemaras are in other places. So that's, that requires major research. Then the Gemara says, one who does kotzer, chorish is kol shehu, and kotzer has a shear. What is the shear for kotzer? So it depends. If you're going to feed the food to the behema, is kimelopi agdi. And if you're going to use, if I'm breaking off branches from a tree, I'm going to use them to make a fire, so it has a different shear. And if it's liapis is akarka, then it's kol shehu. So the Gemara asks the kasha, all of the cases are liapis is akarka. So the Gemara says, it must be the Ka'avid Ba'ara de Lav Delay. First, the Gemara says, he's not interested in being the Apa de Karka. The Gemara, what do you mean he's not interested? But it's you can't call that a Dovisha Eno Miskadein because you personally are not interested. It's a Hamamish of Sigratia. Abai Varavad Amchav Hamayd Rapshim Sigratia Vilayom. That's not called a Dovisha Eno Miskadein. The Gemara says, no, he does it the Ka'avid Ba'ara de Chavrei. He's doing it in someone else's field. So therefore, what? Because he's ripping off the Paris, he plans to use the Paris, he's not interested in improving the other guy's field. So why is that mutter? So the Aruch says, that's exactly why it's mutter. It's a psikresha delay nichalei. The only time Abai Verova makes the statement that moide rab shimim bipsikresha, that it constitutes a malocha deraisa, that's only if it's a psikresha that at the end is going to be nichalei. But it's a psikresha. The Lord Nichalei couldn't care one, it couldn't care less, one way or the other. It's irrelevant as far as he's concerned. Whether it's miyapa the karka or not, psikresha Lord Nichalei is mutter. And this is how the Yorich interprets in several Gemaras. And I inhale there was such a Gemara. Every time there's such a Gemara, so the Yorich always interprets. It's a psikresha Lord Nichalei is mutter. And Tosis always disagrees with every time the Yorich says it. They say it's not true. All of these Gemaras are not telling us that it's mutter. The Gemara just says, if you have a case of psikresha lo nichale, you're not going to be chai v'chatos, because by definition, every time it's going to be lo nichale, it's going to be a melocha shein tzvicha l'gufa. And we assume, like Reb Shimon, a melocha shein tzvicha l'gufa is not an isa deraisa, it's only an isa derabon. So that's all the Gemara meant to say. So tzvicha dekov v'bara dechari, it's a psikresha lo nichale, so you can't be chayiv. So the time you're chayiv is, if you took kimelo piagdi, or kedel levashel beitza kalo. But on the fact that he is miyapa the karka, that since it's lo nichalei, so that's a malocha shein tzvicha leguf is only going to be a derabon. So this is a major machloikis harishon. Then Tosfos, the last 15 lines get stuck. There is a gemara in Sukkah Lamed Gimel that says kemat beferish like the orach. How are you going to get out of that gemara? There's a mishnah where it says eimamata miyontav. If you have another of merubin, it talks about a hadas. Hadassim normally have leaves on them. And once in a while you'll see that when they'll be selling their surrogim, so the hadassim will have berries on them. Usually they pull off the berries before they show it to you. So usually you never see it. Once in a while, if you come early, before they had a chance to pull off the berries, so you see. The Mishnah says there's no problem if they pull off the berries, it makes it kosher. There's no psul of tats of lemon oz. The Gemara has a discussion, maybe after you already tied up the lulav and the hadasim and the arobis and the eged, and the hadas was possible because it had more berries than it had, that's rare. It had anova of meruba meyalav, it had more berries than it had leaves, and the berries were blackish, if the berries are green, so the Gemara says it's all okay. If the berries are black and the leaves are green, and you have anova of meruba meyalav, then it's a psul. And then if you'll pull it out after you already made the eged, so that'll be a shayla of tassel of lemonos. If the din would have been the lulav tzarech eged, then it would be a shayla of maybe there's a psul of tassel of lemonos. We happen to pass the lulav in tzarech eged. So there's no psul of tassel of lemonos. If you need it, if you hold that, if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav needs an eged, so the eged was number psul, and you were machshir the eged, lachar amayse, afterwards by pulling off the berry. So we hold the lulav in tzarech eged, just lachatchila, so you can't apply tassel of lemonos. Some want to suggest that since lachatchila, the Gemara says on Daf Yud Aleph in Sukkah that even the Gemara quotes a brisa that says lachatchila mitzvah le'eged es halulav b'di'eved im lo yagodai kosher. The Gemara says whose opinion is this? If you all like Rebbe Yehuda, you're not even yotze b'di'eved unless he made a negative. If you all like the Chachamim, you don't even need a negative lachatchila. The Gemara says no, it's a point for the Chachamim, and even they agree that lachatchila lulav tzarech eged. The whole machlokes only is b'di'eved, but lachatchila everybody's masking that lulav tzarech eged because they're kelim and ver. So the shayla is, if you hold lachatchila lulav tzarech eged, does it need the same eged that Rabbi Yehuda requires? And Moses is according to Rabbi Yehuda, need an eged akesha shal kayoma. According to the Chachamim, also who hold lachatchila lulav tzarech eged, the lachatchila of the Chachamim is the same as Rabbi Yehuda's eged. Also has to be shnek sharm zel gabi zeh. So that's why Rashi writes in Sukkah, and there are more quotes there, that lachatchila lulav tzarech eged. You need a kesha al gabi kesha. Usually they don't do that. Usually you wind around a strip of the lulav and then you tuck it in a few times. So that's not really a kesha al gabi kesha. So the Mishnah Berurah says we don't really rely on that, the fact that you wind it around and then you tuck it in. We rely on the container. The basket is woven. It quotes from the Sefer Agura Ba'alecha that that's a kesha al gabi kesha. That's full of nuts. The whole thing is full of nuts. That's a kesha al gabi kesha. So you yotze the din lachatchila. So the shayla is, once you went so far to say that lulav tzarech eged lachatchila lerabbanon is on the level of lachatchila, it's the same as Rabbi Yehuda holds likuvah, that you have to have a kesha al gabi kesha. So maybe you should go a step further and say that there's even a din of tassav lemanos according to the chachamim also, that lachatchila, if you'll tie the kesha around the lulav hadasim and arovis, and the hadasim will be possible, because you have anov of meruba meyalav, and then you'll make the hadasim kosher after having made the eged. You make the hadasim kosher by ripping off the anovim and before yontif for achalamoy. So would you say that that's a psul of tasa melosa? So the pashtus in the Gemara is that the whole topic of tasa melosa is only alibi the rabbuta. If you all like the rabbanan, there is no discussion of tasa melosa. And others insist, no, there's no discussion of the ikuvah, because the whole eged is only lachatchila, it's not miyaki b'di'eved. But on the level of the raisa, there is an issue of tasav lamnasa. Pashtus in the Gemara is not so. Anyway, so the Gemara there in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Gimel, has a Mishnah, that you're not allowed to be memayit b'yontif. If you pull off so many berries from the hodas on yontif, that you make it alav merubim me'anovov, so then you had a pasal hodas, which you just made into a kosher hodas. So that's a malacha of misakin mana. We had a machlekes, and that tesis in Yuma and Daf Lamed Dalet on base, it goes over to Lamed Hem and Aleph. So the tesis had a lot to say there. It was a gigantic tesis. So one line in the tesis they said, they're assuming the same over here. One line in the tesis they said that this malacha of misakin mana is only midirabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, there is no misakin mana. I take a hodas, which is possible because another merub me'alav, and I ripped off so many berries. So now I made it a hottest kosher. So the whole misakin man is only midrabban. And on the side of the Gemara, Rebbe Kivegu in the Gil Yinashas refers you to a Mordechai b'shem Rav Yor, who says not like Taisus. He thinks that it's a malacha derais. That's misakin man derais. Okay, the Taisus here is going to work on the assumption that it's only the rabban. So it says there eimematim biyontif, and the son of Reb Shimon, blood of Reb Shimon, holds like his father. Reb Shimon holds dav sheni miskaven his mutter. The blood of Reb Shimon sabal like yavua. And he says that it's mutar lemayit biyontif. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Reb Shimon holds that the dov she'ena miskaven is mutar, but here is the mamish, he's dov she'ena miskaven. Here is mamish miskaven. So the Gemara says, no. It's talking about a case that the fellow is miskaven lachila. He wants to eat the berries. So he's plucking off the berries one at a time. He says the bracha, he pops them in his mouth and he eats them. So the Gemara says, but still, Moda Rab Shimon b'psikreishay. Rab Shimon is Moda. What do you mean? Rab Loza Rab Shimon holds like his father, Rab Shimon, the Dabashin is Gavin Gutta. But this is a psikreishay. The guy knows that it's enough of Merubah Mi'alos. The way it is now, it's puzzle, and the whole motivation to pluck them off, because he knows by plucking off, he doesn't have any berries in the refrigerator. What's he plucking off berries from the Hadassim? Obviously, he wants to make the Hadass kosher. So it's not a Dov Shein in his covenant, it's a Psikreshe. So the Gemara answers, Latzvich Adisla Hashayna Achrita. He has a different lulav. He has a different Hadassim that he's using for the mitzvah. So what does that mean? So therefore it's mutter. So the Orech learns that it's a psikreshe dola nichalei. So that's why it's mutter. Since he doesn't need these hadasim, he has other hadasim that he plans to use. So it's mamash adova she'enim is kaveh. And even though it seems to be a psikreshe, but he doesn't plan to use it over here. So psikreshe dola nichalei. It's lomala v'la morid. He doesn't care whether it's machshadis hadas or some machshadis. He has other hadasim to use. So psikreshe dola nichalei sounds like it's mutter. So it's an opening morid. So as Tosis is going to get around that Gemara. So Tosis has two terutzim on the kash. So some Tosis in the Tosis in Sukkah write, Sigreshul Anichale is awesome in the Rabbanon because it's Malachah Shem Tzvichal Agufa, but Baka Mitzvah it's Mutter. So that's very difficult. But the Achreinim in the back of the Gemara is, what do you mean Baka Mitzvah? The Gemara said, Latzich Dislay Shayin Achriti, he doesn't plan to use this Hadas for the Mitzvah. So I can say that Mamoka Mitzvah is Mutter. It's a chepsa which could theoretically have been used for a mitzvah, but he doesn't plan to use it for the mitzvah. So why should you say that? Why is there more room to be lenient over here? Because the hadas is an object that's sometimes used by makam mitzvah. If he's miskaven to use it by makam mitzvah, so that's mamsha dobah miskaven, then for sure it's also. So the only time it's mutter is if it's islay hashayna achrita. So it's not by makam mitzvah mutter. So how can it be mutter by makam mitzvah? That's a teller. The answer by makam mitzvah mutter, which appears in Mary Rishonim quotes that Tosis. Makam mitzvah muta, a big talent. The other, we don't know what that means. So the only other answer that's half decent is what the Tosis says. Bayat, that the only time there's a machlokes between the Oruch and the other Balei HaTosis is when you're going to be in violation of a real melacha derais. But Eimimatim Miyontiv, Tosis argued with the Rav Yoh. Mort Chabashem Rav Yoh. Tosis Shita always was that Eim Amata B'yontav doesn't constitute a Mesakin monument at Torah. It's only Mesakin monument at the Rabbanon. So when do they disagree with the Yoruch and hold that the Psikreshul Lanichal is still awesome at the Rabbanon? That's if there is a possibility that it will lead up to a Malacha Derai. But if the worst it can lead up to is a Malacha Derabbanon, so then you say that even Tosis will agree to the Yoruch that Psikreshul Lanichal is Mut. It's a big Chiddush. What do you do with the Gemara? Let's say, Goyrod the meet the keys to the Sapsal. The Gemara talks about moving furniture. So the Gemara says, if it's heavy furniture and it just rained and the earth is very soft and it's a psikreshe, it's going to make a charis, then everybody agrees that it's awesome. And if it's not such heavy furniture, it's not so clear and the earth is not so soft, it's not so clear that it's going to make a charis, as Dov Shein is coming, then it's a machloek is satanoi. So the Gemara says over there that even if it will make a chavit, the worst is going to be an isa de rabban because it's kalach hayad, it's chorish kalach hayad. That's not the normal way. Normal way to make a chavit, you take a shovel and you dig. You don't move a heavy piece of furniture in order to make a chavit. So the worst it can be is going to be an isa de rabban. The Gemara still says that dav shenim is kavin is aser, even though the isa was only with the rabban. That's exactly what Tosis disagreed with Rashi there in Yuma and Aflam and Daldon and Beis. Rashi said on the Rashi's gifts in the Gemara was that Mitzaref is only with the Rabbanon. Tosis said the Gemara doesn't make any sense. They say, first of all, Mitzaref is an Issa Deraisa. They have another Gemara, it's not with the Rabbanon. When you have the burning hot metal and you put it into the water and you strengthen the metal by tempering it, so Tosis holds, first of all, Mitzaref is Deraisa. Secondly, they say, even if Mitzaref will be with the Rabbanon, the din still is that Dov Shein Miskaven is also even an Issa Derabbanon. According to Rav Yudah, Varaya, from the case of Gorod, the meet the kiss of the Safsal. The Gemara says the worst that can come out to be is Chorish Kalah Hayad. And it's still the Machlekes of Yud in the Rabbanon. Even by the Rabbanon, the Machlekes. So the same Kashi can ask on Tosis over here. Tosis says over here, Eimimat the Miyontav, the Holy Yisrael is only with the Rabbanon. So therefore, Psikreshu Lo Nichalei is Mutter. What do you mean? But the whole Machlekes of Yud, Rab Shimon, goes on the Rabbanon also. In the Stam, you have to say like the Rashi over there. What is Rashi going to hold? So Rashi apparently distinguishes that the Tzarif, the whole Isav, is only Midrabbanan, as opposed to Chorish. Chorish is a Melacha Deraita. It's just that it's Kalachayat. So Chorish Kalachayat is an Isav Midrabbanan that's more Chomer than Mitzarif. By Mitzarif, the whole Melacha is only a Melacha Midrabbanan. Kalachayat is a leniency on the level of the right, but that's more Chomer than Mitzarif. So apparently that's what Tosafot means over here. As opposed to the Mordechai B'Shem, the Rav Yoav, who holds the name amount of Yontav is Mamash and Isa Deraisa, he holds it in the Sakam Onam and HaTorah. Tosafot holds not only is it not Min HaTorah, it's only the Rabbanon, it's a lower level the Rabbanon. So since it's only a lower level the Rabbanon, so they're prepared to go along with the Aruch in that case. They say that a Psik Reisha Lilei Nichalei is Mutar on a lower level of the Rabbanon. And other the Rabbanons are not going to be Mata Psik Reisha Lilei Nichalei. On a lower level, the Rabbanon, they'll be Matip Sikration of the Nicholas. So there's a steer in the Mishnah Brurah in two places that the latest foreign point out. One place he says, like Tosus, that Sikration of the Nicholas, even if you machma like Tosus, Sikration of the Nicholas is awesome in the Rabbanon, that's only if the Moloch is an Isa deraisa. The Tal Moloch is the Rabbanon's Mutter. Then the other place he says, no, it's only Mutter if it's a double the Rabbanon. If it's a Shvuz, the Shvuz, then he's prepared to be matib sikration on Nicholas. So what do you do with the Gemara Sukkah? That's b'maka mitzvah shayna. That's the other answer that we didn't understand at all. They don't understand, that's what the Achrayim said. They don't understand what that answer means. How is it b'maka mitzvah? The Gemara says, is this shayna achrita? He doesn't plan to use it. So how can you have a kula b'maka mitzvah? And what exactly did the Aruch mean? The Shita says that sikration on Nicholas is mutter. It means it's mutter and kola atara kula. Or he only means that it's mutter in Hilchas Shabbos. So there's a contradiction between two passages in the Rosh, both in Masechah Shabbos. The Rosh quotes the Aruch twice in Masechah Shabbos, once in the earlier parak and once over here. And in one place he writes that the Ke'ilu, the Aruch, only allows psikration on Nichalei on Shabbos, not in Kol HaTorah Kula. The other place he writes that the Aruch goes on Mechabe Eish Al Gabi HaMizbeach. Eish Tometuk Al HaMizbeach Lo Sichbe, and the Sugi in the end of Zlochim. That's not Hilchas Shabbos, that's in Kol HaTorah Kula. He still holds the Psik Reisha L'Nichalei Mutar. So that's an open contradiction in the Rosh, the two versions of what the what the Aruch meant to say. If you hold that the Aruch was Matib Psik Reisha L'Nichalei and Kol HaTorah Kula, so obviously what he meant to say was that every Psik Reisha L'Nichalei reverts back to become a Dov Hashem Mizkav. But if you hold that it's only a Heter in Hilchas Shabbos, so it doesn't make sense. Why should only Mutter and Hilchas Shabbos? So that's what is a Tosfos Yishonim in the beginning of Ksubis that's printed on the side of the page. That Daf Hei or so in Maseches Ksubis, the Tosfos Yishonim presents the Aruch as saying that Psik Reisha de la Nichale is Mutter on Shabbos because you start off that it's Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufo. Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufo is only awesome in the Rabbanon, it's Mutter in HaTorah. And sometimes, if it's a psikration, lo nichalei, then we allow you to do melachos and tzvicha legufa even with the rabbanon. For that, you have to understand why. Sometimes melachos and tzvicha legufa is also the rabbanon. Sometimes mutter. What is that based on? So that's what we discussed earlier. The last tesis on kuf gimel and aleph just gives you on one line what their sheet is. The long tesis tells you what the Aruch learned. So whereas the Aruch, the long skinny Tosfos, the Aruch learns Pshat Psik Reisha Lo Nichalei, the Tosfos presents their sheet on the less yain. No, it's not Psik Reisha Lo Nichalei, it's Mutter. It's Moloch Hashem Tzvicha Legufa, it's Potter. But it's going to be Aser, still going to be Aser. It doesn't mean that it's Mutter. So the last Tosfos is the Hemshech of the long Tosfos. They're presenting their sheet as opposed to the Bir HaOruch. The Aruch learned Ovid Be'ara Dechavre is Mutter. And Tosfos says, no, it's Potter Rabba Losa. Same thing on Daf Ayin Hey. The Aruch learns that if the Chalozan is going to die, Kama Dislein Neshama Tvei Nichala Keich Delei Tzal Tzivei. So the Aruch learned that it's a Psikration La Nichala Isa Tzmuter. And Tosfos said, no, it's Ein Tzvicha Legufa. So that's why it's Potter Rabba Losa. Didn't mean to say it's Mutter. I'm not just explaining why not Chayiv on Ayin Hey. Okay, Belinetta tomorrow. We'll start from Hakosei, Stephen.